Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 2 through 11. And that's page 1388 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 2. Hear the word of God. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. So, dear congregation, what has happened to John the Baptist? John, that bold preacher, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." He fearlessly preached to the scribes and the Pharisees. He even called them a brood of vipers. "Who warned you to flee from this coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And then the urgency. "The axe is already at the root of the trees." John the Baptist, he was on fire. He was like a new Christian. He believed in his mission. He believed in his master. He believed in his message. What was his message? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. After me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John the Baptist. Wow, what a prophet for God. John the Baptist, that courageous, bold, prophetic preacher, ends up in prison and now is doubting. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Now, we know John wasn't politically correct or very tolerant. He certainly was not a compromiser. Truth was truth for John, and it put him in prison. Here's a little backstory. Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee, went to visit. It's always interesting, the family stories in the Bible. Herod went to visit his brother who was living in Rome. And while they were there, he was attracted to his brother's wife. Matter of fact, he seduced her. And then he invited her to come to Galilee. So he goes back to Galilee. He discards his own wife and then marries his sister-in-law. And John the Baptist publicly and firmly rebuked Herod for that behavior. When you speak truth to power, you put yourself in harm's way. Herod, probably like we might be too, when we are rebuked, when somebody points something out in our life that isn't right based on the Word of God, we have a number of options. We can submit to it and say, "This is right, I need to repent." And if you were here last week, you heard all about repentance as Pastor Mark talked about that part of John the Baptist's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you don't want to repent, you can often become angry. Who are you to mess in my life? Who are you trying to tell me how to live and what to do? Maybe angry enough to silence the source. Well, we know that Herod did not repent, and the same story, we read about it in Mark 1, verse 14, tells us that at the time of John's incarceration, that was about the same time that Jesus began his early ministry. And there's maybe a little bit of overlap, but not a lot. Jesus is the rising star, and John is in prison. And so when I read this story, I wonder, was John contacting Jesus to see, you know, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, maybe you could spring me out of prison? After all, John had been a pretty faithful servant. He'd done the right thing. He preached truth. He didn't mince his words. Called it like it was, about people sinning and living in sin. Told them to repent. And said, hey, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the long-awaited one is coming. He's coming with judgment, and there's nothing he can't do. See, John the forerunner, he had been willing to go out on a limb for Jesus. Now he's in prison. When you think about that, in just human relationships, does that make sense? How do you make sense of it? John the Baptist, the great forerunner of Jesus, the last of the Old Testament prophets, and a cousin to Jesus. And you know enough about family stuff with them. When it's within the family, things get dicey. He's in prison. So John's disciples had kept him apprised of what Jesus is doing and teaching. And this raises the question for John. Are you the one to come? Or should we expect someone else? It's a powerful question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? John's in a tough way. He probably knows he isn't going to get out of prison. A dying man needs to know what he believes in. At that stage in life, there can be no room for doubt or error. And God's kingdom at this point is not how John had pictured it. How about you? You ever been disappointed with God? Or at least confused? Or where it just didn't turn out the way you'd pictured it? You worked so hard. You prayed so hard. You did all the right things. And God didn't come through for you. Maybe even worse, God lets you sit in prison. While others are celebrating and going about their business and enjoying life, and maybe some of them aren't even believers. How's that fair? You gave your life to Jesus. And he didn't make things easy at all. Maybe you prayed for the release from bondage, be it alcohol, drugs, anger, porn. Maybe you prayed for just, oh, Jesus, be real in my life, to have a deeper hunger for God, a better relationship with your spouse. Maybe you've prayed for a long time that your children would walk with the Lord. Maybe God didn't protect your wife, your child, your parent, from accidents, sickness, and death. Maybe. Maybe you walked with the Lord for some time now, but it hasn't been what you expected. Oh, maybe you have some good memories. You remember that very moving women's retreat? Maybe a weekend with Promise Keepers. Maybe it was a Bible study group. Could even be a church service. Maybe your own quiet confession, time with the Lord. And you were pretty excited. You were on fire like John the Baptist. But now, as time has moved along, it just hasn't met your expectations. Oh, you might not phrase the question exactly the way John the Baptist did, but you're still asking it in your own way, looking for another, something else. Maybe even going down roads that lead away from him. It's the most important of questions. Jesus, are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? That's a critical question. So John sends his disciples to Jesus to find out. He went to the right source. He sent them directly to Jesus. And Jesus responds in two ways, with authority and with confidence. What's he say? He says, go and report to John what you see and what you hear. What you see and what you hear makes you a first-class witness. And verse 5 starts giving us some of the things that were seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Go tell John this. That's quite an impressive list when you think about it. The blind receive their sight. And in the Old Testament, when people were given their sight, it was often a spiritual connotation. It referred to a messianic prophecy, the coming of the birth of Jesus. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 puts it this way. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened to truth. The ears of the deaf unstopped. In other words, they will hear and believe. The lame will leap like a deer, they'll be strong to run the race, and the mute tongue shout for joy. In other words, be able to sing his praise. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert from the one who is the living water. This is the good news proclaimed to the poor. It's restoration and renewal. And if Jesus is not Lord of your life, if he's not Lord of my life, I fall into the camp of those who are poor. Poor in spirit. So this message that John's disciples go back to John with is really amazing stuff. But I always like to look at the human dimension, and I'm thinking, you know what? John's sitting in prison. They come back as disciples with this glowing report, and it certainly is exciting. It's impressive. But being human, I bet John noticed something else. Jesus didn't say anything about setting the prisoner free. Sure, the blind can see, the deaf can hear. Nothing about setting the prisoner free. Jesus does not add anything like, give my best to John. Sorry to hear he's in prison. Tell him to hang in there. I'm praying for John, and I'm going to come by and visit him soon. Jesus' closing remark really is verse 6. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, who is not tripped up by me, who doesn't see me as a stumbling block. Blessed is the one who trusts in him has no doubt about him, and doesn't take offense at who he is and what he does. People then, people now, might be offended by or disappointed in how Jesus does things and what they had hoped for and expected. And as we stay with John the Baptist, perhaps for him it was doubt mixed with impatience. John was a fiery preacher. Hadn't he warned them in his preaching? The axe is to the root of the tree. I'm thinking in John's mind, he's like, hey, he gave them the warning, and now, Jesus, when are you going to blast your enemies? They're not repenting, those vipers. Do something. Show your power. Maybe John didn't doubt at all. Maybe it was a question of faith and hope. He needed a little reinforcement, a little confirmation, hoping that Jesus' answer would give him confidence, not only based on what he was doing, but what he was saying, the good news. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. I actually think that's the theme verse of the passage that we read. See, many found Jesus hard to take then and now. That verse has a hard concept to it. In that verse, Jesus is telling John, John, it's not about you. It's about me. That's a hard concept. Let's be honest, we like it when it's about us. I'm narcissistic enough to admit that. And Jesus comes out and says, it's not about you. It's about me. Now, maybe we can cut John a little slack because he was only able to grasp half the truth because of where he was in history. See, John preached God's holiness and destruction on those who rejected him. John was a fire and brimstone preacher. And Jesus is saying to John, I'm doing things a little differently than you expected. The forces of evil are not defeated by unlimited power, but by unconditional love. Sometimes a person is offended by Jesus because Jesus cuts across his ideas, her ideas of what Christianity should be. Have you ever had it in your heart where it's easier to accept God's wrath than his love and grace? Oh, no, not for yourself. Not for myself. I love his grace. I love his mercy. But I think he should be a little bit more judgmental of other people. Doesn't he see what they're doing? How come he's giving them a pass? And so Jesus warns us here too, be careful of those who only want to call down God's wrath on others. Getting back to the passage, when John's disciples had left, Jesus pays respect to John from verse 7 on. He says, hey, there's never been a greater figure in all of history up to this point than John the Baptist. And then he says, but whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. When you unpack that a little bit, you realize John was greater than all of the prophets before him. But he's lesser than any of us. When you think about that, he was greater than all of the prophets before him, all the Old Testament prophets. So when you're talking about Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, all of them, but he's lesser than any of us. How can that be? Because John didn't fully understand the cross. He knew about the coming of the Messiah, the one who was going to rescue them, but not the cross. And John couldn't possibly know or understand in any small way how great God's love for his people is. He knew God's holiness, he knew his judgment, but not the love of God in all its fullness. If we preach Christ without judgment, we miss who God is. But if we preach Christ without love, we also miss who God is. If we celebrate Christmas without the cross, we're missing the great message of God's love for us. And we do not have the same excuse that John the Baptist did. He couldn't know. See, Christmas without Calvary is nothing. But we are blessed. We too one day were blind, but now we can see. In Christ, our sight has been restored. In Christ, we who are deaf can hear. We who are lame can run. We who are speechless can praise him. In the cradle, we see the heart of God's love. In the cross, we see the fullness of his love, enabling us to celebrate Christmas for what it really is, hope for a broken world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forerunner, John the Baptist. We thank you for his faithfulness and his obedience. And that this lesson also reminds us that your ways are not always our ways. And that the story is really never about us. It's always about you. Help us to remember that in our worship. Help us to remember that when we gather together here on Sunday mornings, when we're in Bible studies, in our own devotions, that we are not central to the story. You are, and we are the benefactors. And we come to praise you. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself to us in such a powerful, loving way. Will you keep stirring our hearts in new and fresh ways that we stand amazed at how much you love us and what you have done for us so that we could be free, free in Christ. Father, if there was anything in this message that didn't honor you, would you delete that from our minds? And what was truth, would you inscribe that indelibly on our hearts? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.